right, everyone. Welcome to episode 11 of our Healing Voices podcast and YouTube channel. I'm really excited to be here today. Really excited for my interview with Caleb Wilson. And first off, if this is your first time joining the podcast or checking out the podcast, checking out the channel on YouTube, our Healing Voices, you know, the idea, the goal for me is sometimes it can feel a little lonely on this earth, even though there's billions of us. Sometimes it can feel a little lonely. And especially what I found on my body, mind, spirit healing journey. Sometimes I feel like, am I the only one reading this book? Am I the only one like exploring this or talking about this with friends? And what I'm continuing to find out is I'm not the only one. And there's a lot of people that are doing the work to heal. And in their own unique ways, obviously, we're not all on the exact same path. And that is one of the main reasons I launched this podcast is because I really am just so fascinated and amazed at humans and people's resilience and also people's ideas and the way in which they're living their lives. And I just wanted to, you know, provide a space where people could share their stories, share their transformation, you know, how they've become who they are. Because I feel like when I, you know, hear these stories, I realize that we're family. And, you know, and that's one of my biggest goals of this podcast is just for us to begin to be more intentional about looking at one another as family and realizing that we can learn from each other and realizing that we can cheer each other on. So all that to say, I am super excited today to have Caleb Wilson join me live. And this is so exciting to me because Caleb and I, the last time, you know, one of the last times we hung out in person was back in 2010. And it was high school graduation for Caleb. And we met each other through a high, you know, Raymond S. Kellis High School in Arizona, where I was teaching high school math and leadership and also a student council advisor. And Caleb was in student council. And what I recall about you was just a consistency and a kindness. It was like consistency and kindness. You just were faithful and there and present and helping and also just like an energy of kindness. You know, there, like you had a different sort of maturity is what I remember. Like, and not to say you weren't having fun, you know, you weren't still a high schooler, but I just remember you having a different sort of maturity when it came to being 18. So I've really also been thankful here the last, two or three years, we've been kind of, you know, hitting each other back and forth on Facebook, just checking in on each other. And I've just really appreciated that and growing our friendship and just, yeah, honestly cheering each other on. Like, you know, I wanted like your words when you're cheering me, like when I get a video from you and you're cheering on whatever I've got going on in my life, it means a lot. And I just really appreciate your intentionality and connecting with me. And I'm really excited for myself. I'm excited to get to know you on a deeper level today and learn more about your path up till now. And I'm also excited for people who are listening or watching us on YouTube to just like get to know Caleb Wilson, because I'm grateful to know you and excited for other people to get to know you. So all that to say, I'm curious, you know, as you look back on this last, you said you're getting ready to be 29 come September. As you look back on this, you know, this handful of years that you've lived, what are a couple, two or three experiences that have been super impactful on who you are today and the way in which you're viewing the world today? If you can, you know, I know there's so many experiences we all have, you know, in life, but like, are there, you know, two or three that jump out of you as like, when this happened, light bulbs went on, or this, you know, this experience or this friendship or relationship. Anyway, I'll pass the mic to you.
Yeah, first off, I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It means a lot to me. And thank you for showering me with all these compliments and praise. It's it brings back good memories, you know, to kind of reflect on myself from another person's perspective and kind of hear some of those traits that I try to focus so much on, which is, you know, consistency, kindness. Those are things I still try to maintain and practice today. So it's good to hear, you know, there is a start to that in that you're able to witness those things. But yeah, in the last few years, almost the last decade, I would say a few pivotal experiences would be one, just diving into, I guess, like more self-help development type of material, whether it be through videos on YouTube or books. There was one man in particular, his name was Miles Monroe, and I listened to his series on YouTube, and he was talking about like purpose and passion about life and vision and potential, your gifts, having character, and just listening to these messages. You know, I would listen to them days at a time, weeks, months, and the messages just kind of sunk in to where those seeds started to grow and manifest. Eventually, I took that a step further and got a few of his books. And he had this one book that was it was In Charge. So it was a book on leadership. And after reading that book, it really changed my mind about like a leadership philosophy and my life philosophy, and just give me more of a focus. I would say the 18-year-old Caleb, you know, he was doing good things, but maybe he wasn't doing the right thing. And once I got towards, understanding like what I was supposed to do in life, that focus became crystal clear, and you know, you start living with more purpose and intentionality. So I would say that's what been one of the biggest changes over the last few years, finding out what I'm supposed to do in life and then living those things.
So I got to check this guy out. Miles Monroe, you said?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so just kind of lit you on fire with purpose and just how do I want to live more intentionally? First off, I mean, I think sometimes I'm also just amazed. I'm just amazed as you're even talking about over the last, you know, 5-10 years, like diving into self-help stuff. I mean, okay, maybe it's happening, but for some reason, you know, I can get on online or watch the news, and I'm like, are people reading these, you know, are people like taking a look at purpose, or are people just playing video games, you know, like, and I can have a little bit of like, and not to say I wasn't playing video games in my 20s and I still don't like to do it occasionally, but wow. So Miles Monroe shifted things. Yeah. So say more about that. Like, how has that influenced just like your own decision-making with regard to post, you know, you went to ASU, post life at ASU. Now you're down in Tucson. You just finished an internship, nutrition, dietitian, right? Tell us a little bit about what you're up to right now. How you got there, like where that nutrition and wellness became important.
Okay, definitely. So like I said, 18-year-old Caleb, I remember sitting in the auditorium at Kellis, and they brought in some speaker to talk to all the seniors and just talking about careers and what to do post high school. And then that's when the bulb just clicked, and I was thinking, like, crap, I'm going to graduate high school. Like, I got to kind of do something with my life. And, my parents, especially my dad, he said, you know, after high school, you're either going to work full time, you're going to go to the military, or you're going to go to college. You're going to do something. But there wasn't, you know, sitting at home playing video games wasn't going to fly by with my parents, especially. So I decided to work and go to school. So I was working at a golf course, up the street from my house, and then also went to community college, Glendale. And then somewhere along the way, got another job. So I was working two jobs. I worked you know, maybe a close to 50 or 60 hours a week on top of going to school full time and maintaining like other obligations, like going to church and, you know, yeah, a musician at the church and also participating in the youth group. So I was a pretty busy young man, but I didn't really have, I was doing good things, like I said, but I wasn't like doing what was right for me. So eventually, once I started planning and putting goals and writing down, like, this is what I want to accomplish in the next year, this is what I want to accomplish in the next 5 years, the next 10 years, next 25 years. And that's all from listening to, you know, Miles Monroe and just kind of getting that definition for vision for my life. So once I was able to go through those exercises and really sit down with myself and figure out, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing in life, especially when it comes to like what God purposed me with. So once I was able to sit down and write those things out, you know, I started putting actions towards those things. At first I started off doing pharmacy as my major. I thought, heck, I can make a lot of money and, you know, I can take care of myself. It kind of checks all those boxes, but it wasn't really meant for me. And so had a little bit of a realization moment and, you know, took that change to cross over to nutrition. And I thought that was a much more practical way of helping people, because I did want to help people, but I felt like nutrition, everyone can relate to it. Everyone eats. And so going to school and doing that training for nutrition just seemed the right thing to do. Ended up going to ASU, and that was an interesting experience too, just because when I transferred over, you know, I didn't really get a whole lot of support or encouragement. It was kind of like, you know, treating me like a number, and, you know, you may not get into the internship. It's really competitive. So not a whole lot of positive things, but, you know, just let it roll off the skin. And I didn't let that bother me too much, but, you know, throughout college, worked at UPS as a supervisor. Don't know how I ended up getting that gig, because I had no prior management experience before, but it just, you know, it ended up working out. And I think those that I work with, I was able to gain so much from their experiences. You know, I worked with people that are younger than me, people that are old enough to be my grandparents, and I'm also supervising them as well. But, you know, I didn't let that position or title like get to my head. Although I was always able to, you know, just talk person to person on that level and still get everything done. And that's working in a union environment. So that was also another interesting experience, being a supervisor and having that union management relationship. So it was a lot of learning experiences all together. I'm trying to like rope everything in as I'm heading towards what I see for myself maybe 5, you know, years down the line. So I remember, you know, 2014, 2015, I'm writing down like, I want to become a registered dietitian. I want to make sure, you know, I'm helping people to become the best version of themselves. And so I figured nutrition was like one avenue of helping people. The other avenues would be helping people with either in like finances or in relationships and just kind of like counseling. And I didn't have that in my mind at the time, but that's what I was working towards. It wasn't until, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago that I realized, okay, counseling is another element that I want to add to that. So ended up applying or graduating and applying for a job out in Marana. And I had no idea I was in Marana at the time. And I'm thinking, I'm applying for a job, and it's like somewhere in the metro area in Phoenix. And then one day the director calls me, and she's excited to interview me. And she's like, you know, this job's in Tucson, right? And I'm in IKEA with my fiance, and we're shopping for, you know, things for her place and in Phoenix. And I'm like, it's in Tucson. I gotta think about that. It's in Tucson. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I had filled out like maybe hundreds and hundreds of applications and really got like a handful of interviews. So this was the first one that was truly interested in me. Mm-hmm. So I figured if they're interested in me, I might as well see what this job is all about. One thing led to another, you know, had the internship, after I worked there for a year and, you know, I got into the internship my first try. The program was awesome. I learned so many so many techniques and different things about nutrition, especially within a community setting. And it's been just an awesome learning ride. Like, I've definitely learned a lot. I've been having my humbling experiences, which have definitely, I think those are the things I appreciate most, is just having like those humbling experiences that kind of just bring me down to earth and make me realize that I still have more areas to grow. And so over the last 10 years, I've definitely been embracing like a growth mindset, where I become comfortable with the idea of not being comfortable, because I feel like that's what really sparks the growth. You know, staying inside that little comfort zone, you know, maybe at home with my parents, and everything was just like, okay, like this is nice, not too bad. But you know, coming out here to Tucson on my own with my fiance and just having to grow up and do things that I wasn't accustomed to doing, I feel like those kind of experiences definitely propelled my growth, and definitely thankful for all that. So I'm not sure if that answered your question. I may have forgot.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. No, I was definitely curious, like, to know more about how, like, nutrition and what, so for you, it was, you had thought pharmacy, and then as you kind of sorted through that, you were like, okay, nutrition excites me, like helping people kind of one-on-one. And then mm-hmm. as you've gotten into this internship, it's, it gave you a lot of different experiences, like working within a community, new strategies with regard to like nutrition, and yeah. And then also you were just talking about how the, like, just writing down those goals were like super huge. You said comfort zone, like that moving to Marana might've been the best, you know, it was what God intended. Like, it was like you, that for that next level of growth that you knew was necessary or something. Right. It was like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so tell me about nutrition. This is the journey, right? You've had more schooling and more education on nutrition than 99% of doctors, right?
Well,
this is what I've heard, and I'm not throwing doctors in, you know, I've got big respect. I've got a lot of friends that are doctors, so I'm not, but more that nutrition is not really much of a focus in medical school is what I've heard. It's like requirements, maybe you're going up a little bit, but it's like 12 to 24 hours worth of nutrition. So obviously, like, for me, from my background and from where I'm at and kind of how I view health, I'm like, I want you as my doctor. You know what I mean? Like, that I'd be coming to you as my doctor, you know, if I have any health stuff go on, and be like, all right, Caleb, help me put together a plan, because I got such and such going on in my kidney. Can you help me figure out how to, you know what I mean?
So
again, big love to doctors, those of you who are listening. But I also just like this nutrition piece. What are some of the pieces that, you know, if a listener was on here and they were, had never really put together a plan, had never really thought of like nutrition being a key factor in their wellness story, what would you suggest somebody, you know, whether it's a book to check out or if it's specific thing, just a few specific tips that you might throw out to someone who's like, you know, in beginner status, or, you know, and just needing some guidance in nutrition, in the nutrition land, what would you, and obviously we're all unique, but I just was curious, I'm curious what you might add or offer to someone.
Yeah, definitely agree. I mean, I appreciate all the doctors out there that may be listening and tune in. Yeah. You know, I can't, you know, perform surgery on myself, or if I go in and,
okay, touche.
You know, my first year working at UPS here in Tucson, actually, like, broke my finger. And so nutrition, you know, it can help heal to a certain extent, but who's going to sew it up and who's going to put in the painkillers to, you know, kind of numb the site? Like, I can't do that. So Everyone has their role. And I guess emphasizing that everyone has their role to play. So there's like an interdisciplinary approach to health. And so doctors play their role, nutritionists, we play our role. And so you also have to know your scope of practice and where those borders are. So I know over the last, few years, that nutrition piece definitely becoming more important, especially within medicine, because they're seeing how much of an impact it does have on health. And that's not just like in the hospital, but also in preventative as well. So, you know, someone that's inspired to get their nutrition on track, you know, I kind of feel like there's so much information out there. You almost get bombarded. Like there's so much, you don't know what's the right way, but the most important thing is sticking with something that's not too restricting. And I usually just give out general advice. So if anyone wants to have more of an in-depth conversation, they're more than welcome to reach out to me. I feel like that's more my speed versus kind of sitting here at the mic in front of my face saying, this is the way to nutrition and health. That's definitely not my cup of tea, but
yeah,
I would definitely say, you know, avoid being like too restrictive, you know, try to get a lot of variety, and most importantly, be consistent with what you do. So those are kind of like my philosophies that I live by. And I try not to, you know, if I want to have something sweet or something that maybe is quote unquote a bad food to others or to, you know, a certain population of people, I will enjoy them, but I'll do it in moderation. I'll do it in practice balance. Like I won't just fill up a whole bowl with ice cream. I'll maybe just, you know, put like a couple scoops, something to enjoy. And I try to focus on actually enjoying the food versus just scarfing it down and eating it and getting it down to my stomach as fast as possible. I feel like if you're enjoying the foods you're eating and you're having a good relationship with food, that's what's going to help lead down that path overall. So those are kind of, I usually go towards philosophies versus like, this is exactly what you want to do because everyone's different. Yeah. You know, what may work for me may not work for the next person. And, you know, you have your own family history and your own environment and other things to consider. So when it comes to nutrition, it's very individualized.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that. And it's cool. Yeah. So again, those of you listening, definitely feel free to reach out to Caleb on Facebook, Instagram, and we'll make sure you have his info accessible. Because you do prefer just that one-on-one kind of helping somebody find a game plan and figure out next steps based on who they are and where they're at on their journey. I do love those general tips and, you know, just like having that healthy relationship with food, enjoying, like, right. I mean, it's the, and you said moderation, how, instead of scarfing, how are we like enjoying food? Not to be too restrictive. Also another piece, and consistency, right? It's like just, and when you say that, are you referring to like times when you're eating or are you more referring, cause I'm thinking about, when you're saying consistency, is it more about times of the day you're eating or is it more about consistency of what you're eating or just finding like, or both and probably?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, I feel, you know, I've talked to, you know, some people may ask me questions about like maybe helping them come up with a plan. And so definitely do that. And I like kind of sitting down and doing that with individuals. So when I talk about consistency, I mean like the plan that you have. So if you're eating like a certain, if you're doing like a calorie counting sort of thing, like definitely be consistent with that. Like if your goal is like weight loss, you know, you want to do it consistently, especially for a long period of time before, you know, saying that it doesn't work or maybe trying something different and, you know, just like replanning and reorganizing what you're doing. If you only do something for like a day or two, you're not going to really see the benefits of it. And when it comes to like long-term success, you know, it takes, I think we're looking at a span of 5 to 7 years of keeping that weight off to, you know, to show that it was successful. So if it takes, if you're looking at that amount of time to show that a plan or your routine was successful, if you're switching your diet every month or so, you're not really giving yourself enough time to, you know, put in that groundwork and allow your body to adjust to it. There's still a lot of things that we're learning about everyone's metabolism and, you know, putting different things in and out and just kind of changing it every so often. Your body has to adjust to that. So when we're talking about consistency, we're talking about, you know, overall, like whatever your meal plan looks like, maybe the times as well. Just being consistent with that. So it does take discipline, and that's probably not the most exciting thing people like to hear when it comes to health and, you know, that path, but it does take consistency and discipline. But it's all about that journey and that process. And that's one of the things I love doing with my job is addressing those barriers to people's goals and seeing how we can work past those barriers. To me, that's more important than the nutrition piece itself, because I feel like, again, there's so much information out there. Mm-hmm. You can just pick a plan and, you know, do it and you may, you know, see some results. But what everyone doesn't have access to or may not have help with is, you know, getting past those barriers and getting past those challenges. And that's why I really like the counseling part of what I do, because I can sit down, help someone, just like guide them through. I'm not giving them the answers, but more empowering and encouraging them to work through those barriers to get to that path of health for themselves and wellness.
So good. So good. Yeah. So the counseling piece, you really get to practice that when you're working one-on-one with clients. And that's so beautiful. And you are such a natural at just at asking questions and then listening and feedback and everything. Like it's, yeah, that's a natural thing for you. So I'm sure your clients love that. As far as, yeah, I mean, even as you're saying that, it's like, as you dive in, like the nutritional, what are our blocks? I mean, I'm thinking about America, right? Where it's the, you know, the health story of America is a challenged one, just in general. I mean, I think I recently saw some research that 6 out of 10 Americans have one or more chronic diseases. And, you know, a lot of my brain is like, in, you know, goes into lifestyle. What, you know, what, do you have any thoughts just on what are some of the blocks? Like, what are we just so pleasure centered that, you know, as a nation or something, you know, like where we just, the discipline, you said like discipline is a tough one for us, you know, is that one of the blockers? What you, as you kind of have studied it and worked with people, like, what do you feel like are some things that are blocking us? What are those blocks? Yeah. Anyway, yeah. You can just rattle off whatever comes to you, but I'm always curious and I have my ideas, but I'm curious to know what your ideas are.
Yeah, I would definitely, that's definitely part of the blocks. There's so many, I can just go to my own personal experience. I don't even have to go to anyone else's. We have our environment that we have today where we're mostly sedentary. You know, we're sitting most of the day. I know I am, especially since of this whole COVID and we're working from home. You know, I've been parked behind a desk for, you know, hours at a time, and I barely kind of get up and move. I do try to get out and run, but it's the fact that our environment kind of has us parked behind a screen for the better part of the day. And we're also kind of having a surplus of options of foods that are really calorie dense. So that doesn't help. So if you think of it as an equation of your like input versus output, like the input, you have sedentary activities, you have a surplus of caloric options that are really caloric dense, the poor nutrition quality of food. You also have, maybe there's like family factors, family history. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. Maybe you don't have the time to get out and exercise. Maybe you're, you know, you don't have like a walk path or running path in the neighborhood, or you just don't have the time. Sometimes time is a big factor too. Some of us are working so much, and especially here in America, we're such like a work-driven society, and we focus on ourselves. But when it comes to health, I feel like health definitely takes a back seat. So when it comes to like the things that are first place, it's like career and, you know, other things. But health definitely doesn't, you know, get that attention that it needs. It's kind of like you really have to carve time and make time for it. So I think those are the blocks that we are definitely dealing with. And I know that they're real because I experienced them too. Yeah. We have, like you said, the pleasure center. We have so many options for entertainment, and usually the entertainment requires, you know, you're sitting down, you're just glued in front of the screen. You know, there's so many shows and, you know, games and different entertainment out there. So you really have to find the willpower to turn off that switch and just kind of block those distractions. I'll call them distractions, because if the goal is health, you kind of have to turn the volume down on those other distractions or mute it in order to get toward that path. So there are a lot of different ways to get down that path. It's just up to that individual what they want that path to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, definitely try to sit down and look at like what I'm doing, because even though I went to school for nutrition, doesn't mean like I'm eating perfectly, but I'm working to practice what I preach. And so I'm encouraging, you know, my patients or clients to do, you know, 60 minutes of activity. I'm working to see how I can do that for myself and maybe more. That way I can really understand what my, you know, what my audience is going through and be able to relate and, you know, help them get through those barriers. Maybe it's time. So I feel like just getting in there and doing it for myself, and getting myself to that point, I can kind of help lead others to that. And so that's also been a part of my career journey and just personal journey as well, like getting myself to that mountaintop first and then helping others reach that goal as well. So that's been another kind of like philosophy for myself.
I love that. I love that. And it makes it so much more believable, eh? Like where it's like, hey, I want to listen to you. Tell me, you know, guide me on this, right? I think that when you're practicing what you're preaching, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And not easy. Yeah. And will we ever be 100% consistent? You know, like we're all, you know, we're still on the human journey. So as a nutritionist, what is your favorite splurge item? I know you said ice cream, but what's something that you do consume like on a moderate basis, you know, like, and so that would be one thing. What's your favorite splurge item? And then if there are two or three foods out there that people probably need to just say adios to, like if you were to just be like, yeah, that's probably not going to do it for you. I know you talked about caloric dense. The easy options are so calorically loaded. So, you know, we're like, oh, that Chipotle was awesome and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't need to eat lunch, or I don't need to eat the next meal, or, you know, like, depending upon how much we eat. So yeah, what are you splurging on, Mr. Nutritionist? And also like what are two or three items that you would just say, hey, if you can skip these or only consume them moderately, that would be helpful. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a splurge item. And you know, for the last two or three years, I have been working towards cleaning it up. I mean, I still may enjoy, I do have a sweet tooth, so I like to enjoy like different like cakes or brownies or what have you. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's not like a super, you know, I try to limit it. And especially since, you know, I study nutrition, I kind of play around with my macros.
Okay.
It's like if I'm going to have an option to have like rice before my starch, or there's like a brownie I can have afterwards, I'm definitely going to bypass the rice and fit in the brownie, because like if I'm going to have a starch, I might as well like get the one I want, but still be underneath my calories for the day. So I kind of cheat the system in a way,
uh-huh.
But you know, I try to do it within moderation, like I said. But I think over the last 10 years, I probably could have been sponsored by Pop-Tart.
That is amazing. Anyone
who knows me, they know that like Pop-Tarts were my go-to snack, but I actually haven't had a Pop-Tart in maybe like I said, 2 or 3 years. And I used to always have them, especially at college. You just go to the vending machine. They're usually lower price, and yeah, I would enjoy those. But
I'm gonna need your mailing address after this so I can ship you some Pop-Tarts. This has been 2 or 3 years. If you want me to.
Been doing so good.
Okay, I will skip it.
As far as like things that people should avoid, I would say avoiding low nutrition quality foods. And so those would be your, I guess, like your fast food places and anything, any process that like removes the nutrients from the food. So those would be the two things maybe people can start to have less and less and move towards higher nutrition quality food.
Awesome. Yeah. Huge. Huge. Like looking at, yeah, Sarah always says, all right, we're going to the produce aisle first. We need to go to the produce aisle first because it's so easy. It's back in the back, right? So then you hit all these like processed food aisles or, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a journey to get back there to the back without having your cart half full. It's like, how did this just happen?
Yeah.
So, well, I appreciate you dropping in on that. And yeah, I'm just proud of you for supporting people on their journeys. And I totally hear you on that. It's such a unique path for all of us. And we all have unique goals, right? Different wellness goals that we have for ourselves. But I just appreciate the work you're doing and you know, excited to see how you continue to support people. And maybe even some people that listen to this will be ready to hire you as a private consultant, help them out a little bit on their wellness journey. Cause I think it's part of this podcast. The reason I launched this is like, sometimes we need an accountability partner. Sometimes we need somebody just like cheering us on. I know I've needed that. I know that Sarah, my wife, being in my life has really helped me get rid of a lot of the processed stuff that I used to throw down quite regularly. So I just, that, and that accountability has been huge. So just appreciate that you're offering that to people in your day-to-day work. And again, right. It's like, it's the education that, you know, as I listen to you talk, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want Caleb to lead a group of other nutritionists into schools, you know, nationwide. And we need some chefs to go in with them. So we're going to have the nutritionists, we're going to have the chefs, and we're going to have the gardeners. And we're going to literally like give kids from ages 5 to 18 gardening, culinary, nutrition, you know, like,
yeah,
that feels like such a, it seems like it would be a smart, exciting journey for our country. And just for like, it's like, just health is, I think we sometimes forget how important it is, you know? Anyway.
No, I definitely agree with that. The priority, you know, in education, definitely when it comes to what we should be learning that's helpful for adulthood and beyond, like we aren't really learning that in school, like the finances, taking care of our bodies, some of those things that you just deal with on a day-to-day, those are not really focused on. One thing I'm really excited about here in Tucson is that they do have like school gardening programs. They're getting their youth out there, exposing them to all kinds of interesting produce that they may not normally be exposed to at home. They're learning about it. And so I was able to kind of take part in that during my internship, and it was just super cool. The kids get really excited. You know, first they're kind of like, what's this? And, you know, they're really hesitant. Then you kind of play some games and, or just kind of educate them on different things. And then next thing you know, like, they're accepting those foods. So you're changing that child's life. And you're also impacting their future, because you're not going to think that food comes from a box or from a can, you know, or it comes from like fast food. They know that it comes from, you know, the earth, and you can actually grow your own food, cook your own food. And just doing that alone, you're already on the path to health just by incorporating those things and doing them. So super, super big. So I kind of grew up like that too. You know, my dad and my mom, they have a pretty big garden. And so they're doing their own gardening thing too. And that's been super cool to see from where they started and like where it is now. And at first I wasn't thinking like, okay, maybe, you know, I'll just buy the healthy food at the store. But then you learn a little bit more about like food and you know, sustaining things on your own, like, okay, maybe this gardening thing, like, that's definitely the route to go. So it's definitely opening my mind. Wasn't always like full on board with these things, but the more you learn, it just kind of opens your eyes to different things.
Totally. So your parents had a garden growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had variations of gardens growing up. I would say the garden they have now is definitely like the biggest and the best in my opinion, but growing up, they're always growing something.
Yeah.
Even if it was just like a little bit here and there.
That's great. That's so good. Yeah. I think that's, I definitely think that that's a part of this awakening. I think that's a part, like if I want to believe that we're in an awakening right now and that we're all kind of like waking up to responsibility for our health and waking up for responsibility for our communities and waking up to our responsibility for the earth. And it's like, I feel like that, what you're seeing in Tucson, and I know it's happening in other communities around the country. And I just, I just pray that that continues to expand and grow. Cause I mean, we're spending a lot of money on sickness, you know, on trying to get well again. And it's like, if we could switch that up where people are able to pour their extra money into dreams they have, you know, or a vacation or something, you know, it's like could be really beautiful. So, well, let's, thanks for diving into nutrition and everything. What is, as we continue on, your self-healing, okay? I mean, we're all kind of, I like to believe we're all on kind of this healing journey, evolutionary journey, where we're kind of like, you know, you talked about it at 18, you know, kindness and consistency were a couple important things. But as you've continued on, like, it's expanded and become even more, you know, as I think back to who I was in high school, and I'm like, you know, on paper, like, everybody thought I was this confident kid, but inside I was like super insecure, struggling every day to like think I was attractive enough. I had all, you know, just different insecurities that plagued me. And then that healing journey of the last 20 years for me, you know, and your 10 years, like, yeah, you were a 2010 grad. I'm a 2000 grad. So we've got, you know, I've been, so yeah. What's, what have been some, whether it's physically, mentally, spiritually, you know, just your evolution, what are some pieces? What are you coming to right now? What are you working through right now? You know, if there's been like pivotal spiritual awakenings in your life up till now, or, you know, maybe how you were raised compared to where you're at now, like, what, you know, tell us a little bit about that journey. I know we've talked a little bit about it, and I'm just intrigued and fascinated by your expand, like, by the way you're learning and expanding. And anyway, whatever you want to touch on, body, mind, spirit, I'd love to hear just kind of, so others listening can also just kind of find their own voice of like, all right, and you know, take pieces of, yeah, how have you found this? I mean, obviously the YouTube following the guy, you said Miles Monroe.
Yeah.
You know, but tell us about your body, mind, spirit journey. And at almost 29 years old, what have you learned? Where are you at? What are you excited about? What are you, what are you healing?
So what I get really excited about, you know, especially being on the path I'm on now, is knowing my purpose and knowing what I'm supposed to do in life. Maybe, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, I didn't have that pinpointed, you know, clear vision of what I wanted for myself. And it did cause me to go in a little bit of like a little bit of a funk or depression, kind of on the little bit on the downside. Mm-hmm. And I struggled with it because I didn't feel like I was really going anywhere. You know, I was doing things that were good, but it wasn't like the right thing. And so that was a theme or something that kind of just like ate at me. And so once I really, you know, those seeds that were planted just started to, you know, to grow a little bit more myself, and those messages started to, you know, come more to the forefront of my mind. You know, I went through a couple of exercises where, you know, I thought about what I wanted to be and what I wanted to do in life, the type of impact I wanted to make. One of the exercises that really got me was how I want to be remembered. So it was an exercise, basically, you know, like a eulogy type, like if someone's like, you know, going over your obituary or, you know, some type of bio about you, like, what are they going to remember about you? And so that really hit a chord with me, and it caused me to really sit down and really just tackle those things. I hadn't really thought about those things before through, you know, prayer, through, you know, meditation and just like seeking God and what I'm supposed to be doing. I was able to get those answers. And so, just knowing what I'm supposed to do. My purpose is to encourage others and empower others and to encourage them to be the best version of themselves that they can be. And to others may seem simple, but to me, that really gets my fire going. Like, I can talk to anyone I run into and I can just have a conversation and just listen to them and then just get excited about, like, what they're moving towards. And that's something that every day, like, it never passes my mind or doesn't come across. It's like, how can I myself be a better person, and how can I encourage others to be the best that they can be? So I believe since you know, realizing those things about myself, I've been able to live accordingly. So each day I'm putting in, you know, different work and different experiences and actions that I believe go towards that, whether it's for myself and bettering myself, or just being that cheerleader, or being that coach or the guide, or just like a reflective wall for someone to kind of hear their own ideas and then give them that encouragement to go forward in their own walk and path. And so that was something that's definitely been a big change. And so I can definitely, I have that confidence, whereas before maybe I tried to fit in and do other things, but now definitely have that confidence in what I'm doing in life. And from that point forward, you know, I was writing down goals and what I wanted to do. And it's kind of crazy. I go back and I check these notebooks. I have like a stack of notebooks like this.
Uh-huh.
And I have just things I write in there to myself, make notes to myself and things I want to do. And I may check on them every 6, 12, 18 months. And, you know, I go back and I look, I'm like, dang, like, I did this, I did this, I did this. I'm working towards that. And it's encouraging to myself. And sometimes I write myself like messages, and I'll go back, and it's super encouraging to see that, you know, the Caleb like 3 years ago was like, had this fire and passion about what we're working towards. And, you know, reading something like that today, it's like, man, like, that just ignites my own fire and gets me going even more. And, you know, that's why I'm encouraged by interacting with people like you and getting that, you know, fire feeds fire. You know, when you told me about this podcast, I was like, yes, that's awesome. And, you know, I was super excited about it because, you know, it's you working towards like bringing out your own gifts and your own talents. And I feel the process to making, you know, it's cliche, but making the world a better place is by each person being, you know, the best version of themselves. And you and everyone listening, we each have like those unique gifts and talents and skills and purpose that all work towards, you know, healing the earth and healing ourselves. So once everyone kind of like, like you said, like wakes up to that fact and realizes that, we can definitely, you know, heal, you know, experience a rapid growth of healing ourselves and healing the earth and our surroundings. It wasn't always like that for me. And I feel like the more knowledge, you know, it's just like, man, like, I got to go out and try to apply this. And, you know, it's just, you know, you always learn something new.
So good. So good. Yeah. I mean, to me, I love that. I mean, so encourage and empower. And I mean, I said that as I was introducing you, it's like, you do that, man, you do that very well. And I feel that, and that support. And it's like, yeah, dude. Yeah. Go do it. You know, like, I feel like you offer that in just in our friendship. It's like, yeah, I know that I'm going to get a positive word from you of encouragement. And so, yeah, I'm just proud of you for getting clear on that. When you were in that dark space or the funk, the depression, you know, a little mini depression, like what were there?
Yeah.
I mean, was there a pivotal moment that kind of released that, or was it just you doing the work of journaling and like kind of working through, all right, where do I want to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 25 years from now? Like, was it some of the exercises that you got, or was it, do you remember any sort of like, I mean, obviously healing is so right. I'm saying that, I'm like flashing back to my life in Jerusalem back in 2006 and I'm crying at a church service or whatever, you know, and I'm like, it's all part of my healing, you know, I'm like, I don't remember exactly what I was going through, but I was just feeling love in that moment, feeling called, you know, and it's like, yeah, in those tougher times, I know. Yeah. Was there a friend, or was there something that you felt kind of led you up out of the lower time?
Yeah. So now I remember this being, you know, broken down, just getting down to that place where I wasn't so inspired and wasn't so encouraged or empowered, and just felt, you know, like each day kind of was really blah. Like it didn't really have any like meaning in it, because I didn't feel like I knew what I wanted. You know, I am a man of faith. I do believe in the Most High, and you know, through reading the Bible and just seeing the different, you know, the characters and people in the Bible and how they were able to get through their own tough times. You know, there's a whole you know, gang of characters that they had some tough moments. And after reading and seeing what they went through, I was like, well, my problems aren't really, you know, that bad compared to theirs. Like you had Joseph, he's in prison. You know, you had Abraham, he's, you know, trying to have his first child and can't. You know, has to wait 25 years. And you have Job, his whole family's taken away from him. So you read these accounts and you're like, well, what I'm going through really doesn't seem that bad. And I remember one thing that I said to myself that helped bring me out is, I am not where I'll end up. And I just kept saying that to myself. And eventually, you know, I just kind of gave me that power and that faith to keep on. Even though I didn't really know where I was going, it just gave me the faith that eventually I'm going to get there. Like it may not, you know, I may not see it right now, but you just got to keep taking those steps of faith. And once the vision came through, once, even though it wasn't clear, the vision came through, and I feel like God, being a father, he wants to guide us and coach us and grow us. He doesn't want to just give us the answer. He wants to really see that growth and that maturity in all of his children. And I think that's what a father does. He wants to see that growth. And he wants you to be the best. And it's up to us to just have that faith to take each step. You know, I was that was made clear to me after the fact. I went hiking here in Tucson. I got lost between two trailheads, and I was like, where's this darn trailhead I'm looking for? Like, I'm gonna get lost out here. I was over here in Bear Canyon, and I was crossing this riverbed. So I was like, there's no pathway, like there's no way to get across. Like I tried to go this way, couldn't do it. Try to go that way, couldn't do it. So I went back to the trailhead from before, and I just like took my time and just took one step after another. And what seemed to be like a chaotic like path, it eventually, as I took each step, it just like unfolded to like this clear, defined path. And I got to the trailhead. And after just like reflecting on that, it just, you know, I feel like God was telling me that, you know, you have the vision in mind where you're wanting to go. There's a destination, and you want to get to Seven Falls. But the way to get there, whatever destination you're going through, it may not be totally clear, but it's up to you to have that faith to keep taking each step, to keep moving forward, no matter what it looks like. And so when it comes to faith, you can't use your natural eyes to always, you know, use that to see where you're going. You have to use your heart. You have to have that faith and not just like faith that, okay, it's going to happen, but just even if it doesn't happen right away, just like believing in God no matter what, even if it doesn't happen. And so those kind of moments and those type of reflections, definitely, I know I keep that in my back pocket, in my shirt pocket, and I always kind of hold that dearly, because, you know, in this journey that we go through, there's moments where it's not going to be, you know, you're at your high moment. You're gonna go through some tough things, and that's one thing I've come to just be okay with that. Especially, you know, growing up, maybe there's messages about like, well, good things are always going to happen to good people. That's not always the case. You know, had my bubble burst, you know, some life events, and you realize that sometimes negative things happen to good people too, or just people in general. It's up to you to, you know, pick yourself up and keep going. So it was those kind of reflections, those kind of moments, those kind of, you know, truths that spoke to me and helped me get to where I am today.
So good, man. That's, yeah. Thanks for sharing. And just so I hear you saying the, you know, just the biblical characters, like being a big, like seeing what they've been through and kind of just being like, whoa, okay. A little bit of a perspective shift on, okay, what, you know, what can I handle? What can I, Caleb, handle? You know, and how can I grow in this? How can I grow out of this? The quote you said, beautiful. It's, you know, I am not where I will end up. That's what you said, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that gave me like, that lit me up over here. Because I think sometimes it can feel, oh, you know, I mean, the work takes time, right? I mean, you know, it's like, come on, man, I can get on internet in 2 seconds right now. Like, why does it got to take time? Like, why is the Wi-Fi slow or whatever? You know, we can have these really impatient energies, and it's like, I'm not where I'll end up. Like, I know if I stay faithful, faithful to this growth and to these, you know, these good choices daily and reflections. I mean, sounds like you just continue to really listen to God and like, okay, here we go. Like, you know, these are, you know, where I know these are my purpose, you know, I want to empower and encourage. Now let's go. And, you know, you're going to keep growing yourself. And anyway, just really appreciate you sharing. Yeah. I know that just helped me. I know that'll hopefully help somebody listening and or watching this. So let's talk about you currently. You know, what are a few priorities? You know, obviously you said you've just recently finished the internship.
Yes.
And now you're shifting into a role for the next 2 or 3 years, I think, right?
Yeah.
Like a new role that'll be kind of your full-time gig. And what are some of your priorities? I know you're engaged. And yeah, anyway, so like what are the main priorities in your life right now? And kind of as you map out your days, obviously you're off supporting people on their nutrition journey and helping in that front. What are some of your other passions and priorities right now?
Yeah, so, you know, gearing up to study for the exam. So we were talking about that earlier, where, you know, in a few months we'll be taking the exam, and then I'll get my credentials. I'll be a registered dietitian officially, and I'm excited because I'll be working in a new county. That's, you know, Cochise County. And, you know, I'm just super thankful, because like, you would think that your past experiences, that even though, or for me, my past experiences, even though I wasn't on track, I maybe didn't see like a clear path for myself. And I thought my experiences at that time would be for nothing, you know, just to look at God and how He's able to make everything come full circle. You know, my past experiences were able to help me get into the role today, where, you know, I can be not only the dietitian, but also, you know, be the manager as well. And so that's just, I just look at God as making use of everything that I've been through to, you know, allow me to step into a new role. So super, super thankful about that. My fiance has been super supportive. And I also tip my hat off to my fiance. You know, I proposed to her, what was it, last October, it was on the 26th. We had been dating for 6 years. We just celebrated 7 years of companionship, or friendship, as the older generation might say. And so, yeah, I'm super proud of her. She just finished law school. She's getting ready for the bar. And we're also trying to get a wedding, you know, planned. We didn't want to do it while we're in school, we're in our program. So we're finally at the point to where we're ready to tackle, you know, these other to-do list items. But we're excited. It can be stressful at times, but, you know, we both have each other. So that's what matters most. And we're able to, you know, keep each other, you know, in good spirits throughout this process. So I'm just happy overall together. As far as the things that I'm doing currently, besides like work and, you know, personal stuff, you know, like I said, spiritually, just trying to get closer to God. I've experienced a bit of a spiritual like awakening, and that's been super huge too. So I'm not sure if I want to dive into that, but that's also been like another aspect where like my foundation was, you know, things that I once thought have been changed, but for the good. So those are kind of like my current priorities.
Mm-hmm. So good. So good. What are two of your favorite things about your fiance? What drew you to her? What gets you so excited about hanging out with her forever?
Yeah. I mean, she's very goal driven. And she's always been that way since I met her. You know, for me, I wasn't as goal driven at the time, but when I thought about pursuing her seriously, I was like, well, I got to get myself together too. Mm-hmm. So I can get my act together. But, you know, ever since I met her, before she even graduated high school, she always had the goal to go to college and go to law school. And she also wants to, you know, be a professor. And, you know, so she's very goal oriented. So I really like that she had a good head on her shoulders. She has a big heart. I mean, she's very loving, very thoughtful. And that's another thing that drew me to her, is that we're both wanting to help people. There's ways and things she thinks of about helping people that sometimes don't even cross my mind. And I just have to appreciate her own perspective and things that she sees and how to help people. You know, because I have my own thing that I, or have my own way that I see helping people. And so she definitely encourages and supports that, but she also has her own unique way of doing that too. And, you know, we both of us doing that together, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And, you know, we both love to help other people. So, we have like future goals of, having like workshops and, you know, having ways to support kids that want to go to college. And, you know, I look at people like myself and maybe didn't make the best grades. Like, they're good grades, but maybe not stellar knock on your door, here's a scholarship type grade. But, you know, I definitely want to help people that want to pursue and advance their education. And then for her, she wants to definitely help prepare people, because college is something that, you know, it can definitely help in your career and just in life. And so there's that, like, that we want to accomplish together. So those are a couple of qualities. There's so many more, but yeah.
She sounds amazing. We got to figure out a time for you guys to, once you pass your exam and, is her bar coming soon, or is it in the next few months as well? Or
yeah, it's coming pretty soon.
Yeah. Once you guys, ace those, we need to get you guys over to Carlsbad to hang out. Have like a weekend of rest and recovery and celebration. I'm going to figure that out. Yeah, man. Oh, so good. So good. So good. Let's, yeah. Okay. So humans on the journey. So we're all kind of walking on the journey.
and we are constantly, you know, going in and out of each other's lives. Who are a couple of your, you know, people from childhood, from more recent times? I know you talked about this, you know, Miles Monroe. Are there any other, like, just people who have been key in your own development, your own awakening, you know, your own just, you know, current awakening? That you're especially appreciative of. And obviously we've just heard you talk about your fiance, which sounds like she's like super incredible and has been one of those people. But anybody that comes to mind?
I would say overall in life, not just recently, but, you know, I put you on that list, you know, meeting you in high school, and, you know, you weren't your average high school teacher. You know, I remember there's times where we would just kind of, you know, we do like these activities where we're just kind of like standing across from each other and we're like looking at each other's eyes, and where there's like different like communication activities, and we work on listening to others. We work on communication and just getting past those surface level, you know, barriers or, you know, shields that people may have up. You know, this is high school. Everyone's, you know, going through puberty and they're trying to come into their own self. And, you know, here you are, you're like the voice of reason and, you know, trying to get people to, or students to, kind of like see like a different perspective of how they should be conducting themselves and interacting. One of the things that I really took to home was just like being aware and having that awareness. Really, that was something that you would often say, and just like being in the moment. And so never really heard those things before until I met you. And so just, and you're always about like, okay, let's be in the moment. How can you be like intentional and being aware of your surroundings? And just you being the person that you are, I feel like you weren't just like a teacher, you're a friend, you know, while we're going to school. So I thought that was a very cool dynamic that we're able to have in school. And the way that you were able to get along with everyone and everyone respected you. And yeah, it was just like, I never seen a teacher have that kind of command and respect and just that, having those good vibes, you know, cause sometimes, you know, teachers are humans too. They have their own personal life and everything. Like I've had my share of like teachers having like meltdowns and breakdowns. But, you know, the way you're able to just like handle yourself and just, you know, be you and be genuine and authentic, like that's definitely something that stuck out to me. So, that's something, that was very important. I don't really have like a long list of people. So it goes you.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I received that. And I also just like that 4 years at Kellis was very healing for me. I just remember y'all were a big part of my healing. The students that walked through my classroom, where it was like, okay, just really woke me up in a lot of ways, like just woke me up to like what's important, you know? And it was like, this, like I'm like hanging out with you right now. This is, I love this, you know, like this is like gives me life. And I think that's why I loved that the classroom so much, because it was when all of us really dove in to like, whether it was a circle or whether we were doing the eye to eye, it's like just it's magic, right? I mean, it's like when we were little kids, when we were 5 and 6 and we were floating around only thinking about the moment, right? We were not thinking about. So it's such a journey being, you know, growing up and getting older and having visions, like, cause I hear you. I mean, this podcast like came out of, where do I want to be in 10 years? Like, that's where this came out of. I'm like, what am I going to, you know, 10 years from now, what will I have wanted to have created, you know? And it was like, this right here is heaven for me. So thank you for your kind words, man. I appreciate that.
definitely.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a short list. The other man is my dad, my father. Just growing up and having that presence of a, you know, the father figure that really wants to guide and mentor, coach, instruct, you know, discipline, and just make sure, you know, stay on the right path. So just definitely appreciated my father. We didn't always, there were times like during my teenage years where definitely butted some heads and I was like, man, like this guy, maybe I'm pretty sure a lot of, you know, a lot of men can relate to that, you know, kind of that butting heads moment when you think you're becoming a man and you're thinking you're grown and things like that. And, but all that was the way he handled it was the way he handled me was like something I'm like, well, I gotta make sure like when the time comes or if the time comes when I have children, like try to have some of that, because if I was like that, I can only imagine. But yeah, I know I was definitely a strong-willed kid and I try to be, you know, I was respectful, but I also had a strong will too. So I had to, you know, kind of find that line, and he was able to just, you know, the way he parented and brought me up was, you know, very appreciative of that. Hmm. And then nowadays, like, I feel like my dad's my best friend.
No joke.
We have this relationship where I feel like he's my brother, but he's also my father almost like too, just because we were able to just sit down and just talk. And it's, that's one of the relationships that I'm super thankful for, is just having that relationship with my father. And just seeing how he's able to work past things in his life, then of course pass on those lessons to me, and him just being able to admit like, okay, like in this situation, maybe I could have done this better. And just having that, you know, not being like high-minded, to just kind of like admit his faults and admit like when he was wrong or whatever, and just here's where you should do better, or here's where we should do better. And just being, you know, transparent and being honest. So that's been a really, you know, good relationship and a really positive thing in my life. And just seeing how he's going through things in his life spiritually and naturally and personally, and how he just has like that confidence and the boldness to move forward with different things in life. You know, it's definitely encouraging for me. So, yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that you literally, he's like a father and a best, like a brother. And I think that's so cool. He's a special dude.
I definitely want to give him his flowers, just because, you know, he didn't have his own biological father in his life, so he never had that type of relationship shown to him. And so I definitely give him his props and his flowers, because, you know, even though he didn't like receive that himself, he was able to give, you know, me and my siblings that. So, you know, I just, you know, always tip my hat off to my father, show him like that most respect.
Wow. Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, he can be incredibly proud, that's for sure, of who you and I, you know, I haven't connected with your sister in a while, but I also really appreciated her and at school too, you know. It's like, anyway, yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing those. Okay, so I do want to transition into, I've got just two more kind of questions. First one is, it is an interesting time to be alive, you know, with COVID reality and everybody working on masks and new, you know, washing our hands again after taking way too long off, and maybe even, I also was thinking about how I feel like a lot of folks, well, I think we're just being more mindful. Maybe we're being more mindful of like our wellness, right? Like just, okay, I'm kind of not feeling well. Maybe I shouldn't go out and like pass that on to 14 people, you know? But it's a lot of this, right? There's a lot of this going on with regard to our situation, because we've got the economy. Anyway. That whole reality. We also in this last month have been really
ignited as a nation and also in the world by the killing of like George Floyd in Minnesota, and has woken a lot of us up to some systemic racism within our country, and lots of different, you know, just different systems of our country that are broken and that are in need of solutions and need of fixing. And so I feel like there's a big awakening going on in our country and our world of like, all right, how are we going to do family? How are we going to do human family again? You know, and it's, you know, and it's like, we've got to return to that. And obviously there's extreme ends, right? There's extreme ends that are, having an interesting time, you know, like, you know, really struggling with all that's going on. But for the most part, I feel like a lot of us are kind of really awakening to like the need for legitimate equality, you know, like not just, so anyway, as you're processing, as you know, I'm a privileged white dude living in California, that has become ever more aware of my privilege, you know, just based on, you know, being in this country. I guess I'd just be curious to know what's been coming up for you. I know we talked about it here in the last week or so, and you just said lots, you know, it's like, there's so many different reflections, and we said we could probably spend 12 hours chatting, you know, but what, you know, what are some of the reflections that are coming up for you? What are you feeling? Where are you feeling called right now? You know, obviously you've got your own, you know, your passions for health, your passions for nutrition, your passions for educating people, teaching people, empowering people, encouraging people. You know, as this Black Lives Matter movement continues to grow, and I pray grows and really heals this ridiculousness in our country and around the world. Like what's coming up for you?
Yeah, that's definitely a lot. And, you know, I wasn't able to put my finger down on just one thing. So I'll just kind of say what's on my mind now.
Yeah.
But there's the, I guess I look at things from a spiritual perspective. And just because I am a man of faith and I do believe in the Most High, and I do believe, you know, what was, you know, written in the Bible. And so there's different things that were spoken. And like you said, like, we're seeing not just in our country, but we're also seeing around the world. Now, I've only been living for 29 years. I've never seen anything like that. I'm not sure if that's the same for you in your lifetime, but I've never seen anything like this. And I know I talked to my dad and he's like, yeah, like, definitely haven't seen anything like this in my lifetime, as far as all the things that are going on, not just that one topic, but just everything in general. There's so much going on. So, you know, people are what they eat, and that's something that's not just on a natural health base, but it's also in a person or like in the spiritual aspect. What people consume spiritually, it feeds in to how they manifest and kind of act out in life. So if you're putting like hatred and you're feeding on hatred, you can expect that as a spirit or as a person or a spirit within a person that's acting out, you're going to put out hate. And if you're consuming love as a spirit, as a person, you'll put out love because that's what you're putting in yourself. And so in today's world, we're seeing, you know, those play out. And you have your spectrum, of course. But I feel like the timing of it, I feel like that's not coincidence. I feel like that is on purpose, in a part of, you know, my spiritual belief. And part of my recent spiritual awakening is like realizing like my identity. You know, I'm not just like me personally. I'm not just, you know, a descendant of slaves. You know, after reading the Bible and just removing certain perspectives and just like looking at it and looking at what's happened in world history, you know, it leads me to believe that the people of the book are the people that have been scattered around the world, which are, you know, people, you know, of African descent. And so they have been shipped and scattered across the world. And there's prophecy that says that, you know, there's going to be a 400 year time mark. And, you know, last year would mark that 400 years, you know, that the first, you know, slaves were brought over into the Americas. And so I don't see it as like too much a coincidence that we're seeing, you know, after that mark, especially into this new calendar year, that things are beginning to be shaken up. People are beginning to wake up. And it's not just here and there. It seems like there's like a gradient of people waking up, and there's people that don't want to realize the truth or realize that, you know, there's like that hate that's going on. And then there's people that realize like, well, there definitely could be more love. How can I be a part of healing? And so it's a big system. It's a big beast, so to speak, that we're attempting to tackle and take down. And I believe that if we're doing what we feel is right in our hearts, let's do that. Like if you feel that there's a certain thing you can do to help, let's definitely do that out of love. And let's, you know, do those things. For those, all those actions, even though it's there, they may not seem grand, they do have an impact, and it's you saying something with your actions. So definitely don't feel defeated or that this is too big of a problem to tackle alone. Just, you know, put in your actions where you can, and that'll be your voice speaking for your, you know, for your actions. So, yeah, it's an interesting time. And, you know, like I said, there's a gradient of people waking up, and there's people that realize like, yeah, like there's this, you know, there's people that are being, you know, targeted. There's people that are being, you know, not being recognized as human. There's a whole like spectrum. And so I believe to overcome that, my belief is that this will be overcome spiritually. And so we just have to wake up and recognize that God will be the one to, you know, deliver and save us. You know, we just have to wake up and acknowledge that he's the going to be the one that's going to get us out of this. So there is a path, there is a way that we come before God. And those are things that I'm working on within myself, because, you know, you have to get yourself right spiritually, get yourself right personally, and put yourself in a position to where God can act and move. And for those that are, you know, it's pretty black and white. It's like right down the middle. If you're gonna be on the love side, you know, you're gonna do the love. If you're gonna be on the hate side, there's gonna be that too. So it's like God, he'll be able to see into everyone's heart and know what their intentions are at the end of the day. And so for me, just trying to do things to help everyone, not just, you know, one particular person or people group, but like you're saying, like becoming that human family, because originally that's what God created. Like we're all one human race. We're all supposed to, you know, be brothers and sisters on this planet. This whole like race thing, that's kind of been a thing that's, you know, been man-made and to separate instead of unite. And so by removing those barriers and taking down all those man-made things and just getting back to like, you know, getting back to the garden, getting back to like the original plan for things and just, you know, living how, you know, God originally designed it, I feel like that's a part of that process. So like getting back to the foundation, like you said, like returning to that human family.
Thanks for sharing. Appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Yeah. Just helpful to hear your reflections and how you're processing everything. And I like your, even just the piece on just what we're feeding ourselves, right? What we're this love, like feeding ourselves love or hatred. And I mean, Sarah and I've been, I feel like we've been commenting for years on just the advertisements, like YouTube pop-ups or whatever, where you're like, they're advertising the next great movies coming out, and like they're just they continue to be more and more like
fear-based, like more and more just like ugliness coming at us. It's like, holy moly, could we maybe cry and hold hands during the next movie? Like instead of always be in this like frayed state. So anyway, so I appreciate that, I mean, it's what we consume, you know, it's like, it applies to nutrition, but it also applies to what we're feeding our spirits day in and day out. And the more we're feeding ourselves junk, the more we're gonna, you know, live in greed and live in, you know, segregation and live in division and live in, right? Like the separate. Whereas if we are feeding ourselves love, and for you, that's, you know, that's highly and, you know, incorporated in with your faith journey and your walk with God. It's like that is a shifter for you, where it's like, it's like so critical as you're feeding yourself with love and then just feeling inspired to, one day at a time, just like show up and be that messenger of like, hey, we're together, we're in this together, instead of the division, you know, instead of that like energy of like hatred, which may never go away, but man, I kind of think that there is so many more kind people in our world than folks that are just so hurt and so dark inside. I really feel like most of us want to be this one family, like if we really sat down and thought about it for, you know, yet for some reason money and greed and right and wrong has just caused this for eons, you know. So my prayer is that it shifts, that this is part of that shift and all right, family, here we come. Anyway, thanks for sharing. Okay, so, and again, we could talk for 12 hours on that. Let's have another chat here soon. Even if it's not an interview, we'll just drop in and I'd love to dive in more. Final question. You've got a room full of 20,000, 30,000 people. They're like, they've been following you for some years and they're like, okay, we're ready. We're ready for the wisdom. The wisdom drops from Caleb. If you got a room full, what do you get excited about sharing with people? What do you want people to consider? What do you want people to take a look at in their lives? What do you, what might you offer?
Yeah. So first, I just want to thank all the 20,000 people still sticking around, that they haven't walked out to the parking lot yet. So, but on a serious note, I would say it's important for you to plug into the source as a person. For me, that was, you know, plugging into the Most High. I was plugging into God. And I realized that the times when I'm plugged into the source, I'm able to enhance that growth and spark that growth. And I feel that is showing that positive potential for being the best version of myself. Whereas the times where I'm not plugged into the source, that's when I'm not experiencing growth. There's, you know, like a decaying, or there's a, like a stunting of growth. There's definitely like a withering going on. And so if I could say one thing to everyone, it's just, you know, plug into the source, you know, like seeds, they need soil, fish, they need water. You know, we need air and food, you know, that's just on the natural sense, but as a person in the spiritual level, definitely need to plug into like whatever your source is. I know that people listening may come from all different walks of life. We may not always agree on every topic, but if there's like a wisdom to share that could apply to everyone, it would be plug into your source, because without it, you know, you won't be able to function. If you look at like your appliances around the house, you know, everyone has, you know, TV and a blender or, you know, other things. All those things are cool, but if you don't have the power to, get those things functioning, at the end of the day, they're just kind of there. They're just inanimate objects. And it's the same thing for us as humans. If we're not plugged into that source, we aren't going to function properly. And with my belief, believing that God has purpose and designed each of us to do a specific task on this earth, if we're not plugged into Him, we're not going to be able to function or do things good. And that's what the definition of good is, in a biblical sense. Good means functional, and evil is dysfunctional. So if you're not plugging into your source, you only have one other thing that you can do, and that's dysfunction. That would be the one piece of advice I'd share with everyone.
Yeah, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for your willingness to hop on this interview and to share a bit of your journey up till now. And dude. I'm just really proud of you. Proud of who you've become. I mean, who you were at 18. I also loved that guy too, but it's really cool to watch you just continue to step into your power and into your greatness. And I'm taking a lot away from this interview and just listening to you, and just that faithfulness, that day to day, like, okay. And the fact that you were talking about like journal, like kind of you're writing down and the different exercises you're doing. I mean, that's so powerful. And really just hearing you talk through that also is like, I think sometimes I make up in my brain that I've got too much on my list for the day. And, and yet anytime, right. Anytime I take the time to sit down with a text, to sit down, like with a book, or, take 15 minutes listening to a book that I'm, one of these books that my therapist is, recommended, or, it's like just those, it just helps me so much. Then grant, like just show up. I mean, it's what you just described, the whole plugging into the source. When you plug into God, to plug into love, to, obviously different, everybody's got their own story with that, but plugging in, it changes my game. It changes my day. Changes how It changes how I eat, changes how I treat my wife, changes how I listen versus, it changes my tone of voice. I mean, it just changes so much. I really appreciate all the nuggets you've shared throughout this interview. And I'm really hopeful that people will hop on and hear this and just be like, just be reminded that they have it in them, that they've got big purpose in them. I've heard you talk about that quite a bit throughout. I've heard you talk about, just clarity of vision. Like, you've talked a lot about that being so key in your healing journey, your growth journey. So just fun to, I think that's a call to all of us to just continue to get clear and to, and vision. I'm really proud of you and thankful for you taking the time. Anything else you want to add before I close this out here? But I'm just really, really appreciative.
Yeah. I just want to say super appreciative of your friendship. Over those, last 10 years, you've been reaching out, checking in on me, and you didn't have to do that. So definitely appreciate, you sending all the good vibes and love and, keeping me up to date with where you are in life and what you're working towards. And it was definitely during those periods that I explained earlier where I was kind of like up and down. And so even throughout those times, you're still engaging me. And at a certain point, I probably didn't like respond as often or maybe in a timely manner, but like you still like kept, you're consistent. You kept it up on your end. And that's something that, I try to preach and practice as well. It's like, communication, two-way street, takes both in. Just because, there's like the other person's in, they're not responding. Like, you can't control what they do. You can only control what you do. And so I just want to, also compliment you on just just, you know, being consistent and just always showing that love and always engaging me. So definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, dude. My pleasure. I mean, I'm really excited to see where we're at 10 years from now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll just, let's keep connected. And yeah, I think we're going to be working together in many different facets in the coming years. You know, you guys are talking about you and your wife and workshops and this and that. I'm like, anyway, I get excited about what's possible, what can be, you know? Yeah. Anyway, thank you. And those of you who hopped on YouTube or listened to our podcast today, really grateful to have you join episode 11 of Our Healing Voices with Caleb Wilson. Again, reach out to him. We'll make sure we have his information both in the podcast description and also on the YouTube description. So connect with him. Those of you who, you know, would like more guidance on the nutrition front, on, you know, if you've got some wellness goals, no doubt in my mind that this guy can help you move in the direction of where you want to go. So anyway, thanks again, Caleb. Thank you all for joining us, and signing off.